Well, I warned you, so here it comes. I'm preaching a message entitled, I Love You, But You Don't Make It Easy. I love you, but you don't make it easy. I want you to really give me your hearts tonight, and I'm going to ask that you do so. I'm going to explain some things tonight that I think Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs to hear. And my job, by the way, and just let me talk to you for a second. Brother Reiser, did you make it back in yet? David, would you go look on my printer in my office? I think there's one piece of paper that I printed out and then I didn't grab. And it should be laying right there on the printer. If it's not, then maybe the Lord didn't want me to have it tonight. I don't know. But I want you to listen to your pastor tonight. I'm going to preach to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That's what I tend to do. I don't spend my life trying to straighten out all the churches in America or the independent fundamental Baptist movement. I try to help Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's my responsibility to know the state of my flock. And so I watch and guard and should. The Bible says that my job, according to the book of Hebrews, is to watch for your souls. And you need to understand, was it there? Praise the Lord. Good. All right. That's what I needed. Thank you. Understand, and those of you in my young adult class, and we'll get to the scriptures here in just a second, but let me just chat with you. Watching for your souls, you have to understand that we're a triune being, body, soul, and spirit. Your soul is comprised also of a trinity. Now listen to me because I want you to understand what I'm doing tonight. Your soul is also comprised of a trinity. So here's man. We're made out of body, soul, spirit. Here's your soul. It's made out of the mind, the heart, and the will. And my job is to watch for your what? Souls. So that means that it's important that as a pastor, there's three areas that I'm specifically supposed to watch over and safeguard in our church. When I'm watching for your souls, what I'm doing is I want to make sure that I keep you thinking biblically. Okay? Because if you, that's what your mind, you must, and everything starts with the mind. If you think biblically, your mind, your heart, which is the seat of your emotions, if you think biblically, young adult class, we're reviewing, right? If you think biblically, then you're going to feel appropriately. You're going to feel right. You're going to feel correctly about something. If you think right about something, someone says, well, I can't help the way I feel. That's not true. If you're feeling wrong, it's because you're thinking wrong. When you think right, you feel right. Now, what about the will of man? If you think correctly, think biblically, you'll feel correctly about something, and then you'll act wisely. You'll make good decisions. It all starts with your thinking. And when poisonous, unbiblical thinking processes begin in a church, then what the preacher's supposed to do is watch for your souls, which means I take you back to the Bible and say, you're thinking wrong. Because you're thinking wrong, you're feeling wrong about this. And because you're feeling wrong about it, you're acting wrong about it. And so that's what your pastor's job is. That's what it's talking about when it says, I'm to watch for your souls. And so I sense there's unbiblical thinking. And I'm going to try to fix it tonight. And I'm going to try to fix it with this tonight, all right? Because if you don't think right, you're not going to feel right. And if you don't feel right, you're not going to act right. You're going to make decisions that are poor in your life. And so the greatest act of love that a pastor can bestow upon his congregation is to preach the Bible and to tell you the truth according to the Word of God and to help you to think biblically. And so that's what the process we're going to do tonight. Proverbs chapter number 2 and verse number 10. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible, Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 10. And then I'll have you go to one other place in the scriptures, Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 10. The Bible says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Listen carefully. So you need wisdom. And when you allow it to enter into your heart, by the way, knowledge becomes pleasant to your soul. If when I give you biblical knowledge, it just grates against you, it's because you are not allowing wisdom to enter into your heart. When you allow wisdom to enter into your heart, knowledge becomes pleasant to your soul. By the way, all of a sudden you start having and learning and developing something called discretion. which means that you know how to look at something biblically, feel about it appropriately, and act wisely about it. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Now, who is this evil man? All right, there's a description. From the man that speaketh forward things, boastful things, haughty things, who leave the paths of uprightness. Oh, wait a minute, stop. So that means at one time he walked or she walked the path of. You can't leave what you've never done. Okay, stay with me. To leave the path, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. And then the progression continues. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths. So there's the man. Now to verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth. Stop. You can't forsake something that you never had. So at one time, she followed the guide of her youth. But now she's forsaking the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Stop. You can't forget what you never had. Okay? Look up here and let me help you. The most dangerous people in the world are not lost people that have never been churched. The most dangerous people in the world are people that are raised up, grown up, know better, and leave it. They are identified by Proverbs as evil men and strange women. Okay? We're talking about backsliding tonight. We're talking about the dangers of backsliding. Not just to the backslider, but the dangerous effect that backsliders have on a local assembly. Okay? The Bible says that if you let wisdom enter into your heart, knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, and understanding will keep you. This won't be a problem. It will deliver you from the ways of the evil man. It will deliver you from the strange woman, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclineth unto death, her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take hold of the paths of lives, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men. So, church, listen to me. Do not follow evil men into a backslidden condition. Do not follow strange women into a backslidden condition. That thou mayest walk in the ways of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. Who am I supposed to follow? Who am I supposed to hang around? Who am I supposed to gravitate towards? Those who have not forsaken the paths of uprightness. Those who have not forsaken the guides of their youth. Those who have not forsaken and forgotten the covenant of their gods. That's who you're supposed to be following. That's who you're supposed to have influence in your life. That thou mayest walk in the ways of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Now go to Psalms 101, please. Psalms 101. And I'll read to you the first three verses of this psalm. Psalm 101. Psalm 101, verse 1. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. What does it say? I what? Hate the what? The work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Verse 4, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you help us. Lord, we're in the helping people business, and the preacher's about to try to help his people. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to think biblically and then feel appropriately and then act wisely. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I have been thinking about this for some time and kind of putting this together, probably message for the last several months. And I wanted to make sure that it gelled in my mind, it came together, and that I could teach it in a good and biblical way. I've spent a lot of time praying over this message. I think it's timely for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Young people, let me just tell you a fact of life. You might as well get used to it because it's going to happen throughout your Christian life. It's happened throughout my Christian life. There are going to be people that at one time served the Lord, at one time are faithful, at one time involved a Blessed Hope Baptist Church that's going to backslide and leave the will of God. Fact. It happened in the 1970s. It's happened in the 1980s here. It's happened in the 1990s here. It's happened in the year 2000, and it's happened in recent years here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Some of you feel like, well, what's happened recently, oh my goodness sakes, it's a new thing to you because you're not very far along in your Christian life. But the veteran saints of God that have been here for years understand that a sad part, a sad and grievous element of the local assembly is that not everybody stays with it, not everybody stays right, not everybody stays on path. And it's just a fact of life. Now, let me just say this in the beginning. Our love for people should never change. Our love for people should never change. You see, if we're going to mimic the character of God, God loves you when you're doing well, and God loves you when you're not doing well. God loves you when you're right with God, and God loves you when you're in a backslidden condition. Our love never changes. But there are things that have to change, according to the Word of God, in our relationship to backsliders, and it has nothing to do with love. I love you, but you don't make it easy. And one of the hardest things to do is to learn to love people and yet not compromise with them as far as their wrong decisions, not putting a stamp of approval on the things that they're doing, not compromise with them and accept their behavior. See, folks, watch this. There's the person and there's the actions. You know, the preachers always say you're to love the sinner but hate the sin. And so let me just say this in the very beginning. It's a lot easier to love people that are doing right. And I'm going to explain to you why that's true. It's a lot easier to love people that are involved in right. It's a lot easier to love people that are right with God. But whether or not it's easy or not, we never stop loving people. And so I love you, but you don't make it easy. Now, let me explain some things, and I'm just going to have you do a little Bible drill with me, okay? So I want you to use your Bible because I don't want you to walk out of here, and I've tried to construct this message in such a way that nobody can walk out of here and say, well, Pastor Jerry Ross thinks this. If you're honest, and if you'll open your King James Holy Bible and you'll look at the scriptures with me, and you'll have your heart open to it, the Word of God is going to convince you about some things tonight. And so let me talk about the difference between a Christian who is backslidden. Nathan, would you slip out this door here and get those two white chairs? The difference between a Christian who is backslidden and a Christian who is right with God. Now let me say this, folks. Even a Christian who is right with God, what I mean by that is this. To the best of their ability, they are striving to live in such a way that brings glory and honor to God. It does not mean they're perfect. Could I have one right over there against that wall? And one right over here against this wall right over here. It does not mean that they're perfect. We're going to talk about that. But the direction of their life, the activity of their life, the attitude of their life is that they are striving to be biblical Christians. They're striving to be obedient Christians. They come to church with the right spirit, with the right heart. That is the Christian who is right with the Lord. And that is different from a Christian who is in a backslidden condition. Because sadly, when a Christian decides, and by the way, backsliding is a personal decision. It's a decision by that person. We'll talk about the blame game in a little while here. But a person who backslides chooses to do that. You can choose to backslide, and you can choose to begin a backslidden process in your Christian life, or you can choose to every day of your life do the best you can to be right with God and live right and obey the Bible and keep a good spirit and participate in the work of God. But as a preacher, I have to pastor Christians who are backslidden, and I have to pastor Christians who are striving to be right with God. By the way, listen to me, and I'm going to say this several times. I love that Christian right there. And I love that Christian right there. I don't love that Christian right there more than I love that Christian right there. It is easier to love this Christian than it is to love this Christian. And I'm going to tell you why, but easier or not, our love for them should be the same. Love does not vary. God loves all of us. God loves us when we're good. God loves us when we're bad. But let me say this. God's favor, and I will show you this in the scripture tonight, is gained and procured by people who strive to be right with the Lord. God's judgment and the warning of judgment comes throughout the Bible of those who are backslidden. So I want to love both of them, but it is easier to love this person than it is to love this person. You say, preacher, why would that be? Watch this. The backslidden Christian begins to involve themselves in things that God hates. Okay? Now stay with me here. If you become involved in things that God hates, I have to agree with God. You see, I'm going to think biblically, and therefore I'm going to feel appropriately, and therefore I'm going to act wisely. When I think biblically, what I do is I say, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Too much of this is happening in Blessed Hope. Look right up here. Well, what do you think about this? Well, what do you think about this? Well, what do you think about this? Can I say this? You need to stop taking a poll about what everybody thinks about things. And you need to stop and ask this question. What does God think about this? Because if you're not thinking about it the same way that God is thinking about it, then you're wrong. And I don't care if you got 57 people that agree with you, you are still wrong. And so our job here, and my job as a pastor, is get you to think about something the way God thinks about it. If you'll think about it the way God thinks about it, you'll feel about it the way God feels about it, and then you'll act wisely. By an action of your will, you'll make good decisions about that situation. Now, the problem with the backslider is they begin to involve themselves in the things that God hates. We read in Psalms 101, do you have it there in front of you? Psalms 101:3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Watch this. I hate the work. It's very important that you understand here. I hate the work of them that turn aside. I don't hate the backslider, but I hate the works of the backslider. You say, preacher, why do you hate their works? Because God hates their works. Because the Bible says, this is the word of God, that he hates the works of the backslider. Now, isn't that interesting? What does it say there? I hate the what? Works of them that turn aside. Now, folks, listen to me. No one in the world has ever backslid and stayed unemployed. Because the minute they backslide, they have to go to work. All right? When they backslide, they got to go to work. And the work of their life becomes the justification of their backsliding. Okay, so that now, it's, you know, if you were honest, you wouldn't backslide. So you've got to be dishonest about it. And so now you have a full-time job or a part-time job, and most of them take it on as a full-time job. That I am going to get busy working to try to excuse and justify my backsliding. Let me say this. I hate the works of the backslider. Because instead of spending your life and your time trying to justify why you're backsliding, why don't you just get right with God? Why don't you just do right? Why don't you confess and repent of your sin? Why don't you turn from your worldliness? So folks, I hate, watch this, I hate the works of the backslider. Now, what's the difference between the Christian who's a backslider and the Christian who's right with God? The Christian who's right with God is engaged in and busy with the works of righteousness. Okay, now, I love you, backslidden Christian, but I hate what you're doing. Now, this is why it's easier to love this person. I love you, and by the way, I also love your works of righteousness. You know why? Because God loves you, and he loves your works of righteousness. So far what we have is that now They're asking me and saying, well, you don't love me. Blessed Hope don't love me. The people there don't love me. No, no, we do. But we are not going to compromise and love the works of the backslider because, you know what? God doesn't love them. He uses a word, H-A-T-E. And folks, it's about time we decided that we were going to stop being neutral about this. You're either going to love the works of righteousness and you're going to hate the works of the backslider. Why? Because God loves the works of the righteous and hates the works of the backslider. All right? Now let me have you go, if you will, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. So I love you, but you're not making it easy. Psalm 119, verse 104. Psalm 119, verse 104. The Bible says this, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I, what's that word again? Hate every what? False way. Psalm 119, 128, look on down into the chapter 128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every what? Well, a backslider not only begins the full-time job of justifying, defending their backsliding, but they begin to walk in a false way. Now, I'm commanded of God to hate the works of the backslider and hate the false way. Now, the difference between them and the Christian that's right with God is they don't walk a false way. Remember, this psalm deals with the word of God, Psalms 119. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. So what the person who's right with God does is that they pursue the Bible way. Okay? Now, if your way is opposite of the Bible way, then it's a false way. And by the way, I love the Word of God. I love, walk the Bible way. Read your Bible daily. Don't forget to pray. That's the path that I want to walk. Now, I love that path, but I don't love that path and I'm okay with this path. I love that path and I hate that path. You know why? Because I want to have the same thought patterns towards the false way as God does. I'm going to think biblically, and therefore I'm going to feel appropriately. When I think biblically, the appropriate godly emotion towards the false way is hatred. Why? Because let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And guess what? The Son of God was anointed according to Hebrews chapter 1 above his fellows, because he loved righteousness and hated iniquity. See, we got this whole idea that God's a God of love. You know, hear us all the time. God's a God of love. That's what the homosexuals are saying. Well, God's a God of love. God's a God of love. God's a God of love. He's also a God of hate. Okay, when you study the Bible, you learn to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. Now listen, I don't hate the homosexual, but I hate his false way. All right? I don't hate that backsliding Christian, but I hate the works of backsliding. I hate the full-time job they become engaged in to justify their backsliding. I hate the false way that they're walking. Why? Because I love the works of righteousness and I love the Bible way. So now I love this young person or this Christian who's right with God, but I can also love the works of his righteousness. I can love this Christian and I can also love the fact that he's walking the Bible way. I love this person, but I have to hate the works of the backslider. I love this person, but I hate the way that they've chosen to walk. We're not done. Number three, Psalms 119. Let's look at it. We're right there, 163. Psalms 119, 163. The Bible says, I what? Hate and abhor lying. But thy law do I love. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to be there for a little bit now. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 16. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16. These six things doth the Lord, what? Hate. Yea, seven are what? An abomination unto him. All right. By the way, you go seven for seven, you're just not engaged in a few things that God hates. You go for seven for seven, and you stand, your life stands as an abomination to God. And by the way, read these things. You'll find that the backslider will engage in all seven of these activities. Number one, listen, I love you, but I hate and abhor lying. Okay? I hate it. I hate it. Now, folks, listen to me. By necessity, a backslider must, first of all, begin to believe lies. Okay? If they didn't believe lies, they wouldn't backslide. The first person, then they begin to engage in lying. And the first person they have to lie to, watch this, is themselves. I hate the fact that they're listening to the lies. I hate the fact that they're believing lies. I hate the fact that they've talked themselves into lies, that they're lying to themselves, and then the process continues where they start lying to other people. Now, folks, the person that's right with God has no patience and has no compromise in their heart with lies. A person who's right with God is interested in this, the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How sacred is the truth, and how sacredly should the truth be handled? We should treat the truth as sacredly and as we treat the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? If you love God and are right with God, you're going to want to know the truth. You're going to want to believe the truth, and you're going to want to live the truth. But when you get backslidden, what you do is you listen to lies and you begin to tell yourself lies, and then you begin to tell other people lies, because the only way that you can live a backslidden life is to live a life of lies. Now, I love you, but I hate your works. I love you, I hate your false way. I love you, but I hate your lying tongue. I hate your lying tongue. Let's go on. Proverbs chapter 6. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. What's the first one there? A proud look. When a person backslides, let me tell you what they become infected with. Pride and arrogancy. Pride and arrogancy. All of a sudden, they know more than the preacher. They know more than their Sunday school teacher. If they're a young person, they know more than their parents. They know more than God. They become proud in their heart. They won't ever say these two words, I'm wrong. They defend themselves. They won't find an altar. They won't say I'm sorry, because they're right. No matter what happens, they're right. They'll never want to admit that they're wrong, because pride has come into their heart. Now, a person that's right with God, according to the scripture, is baptized with a spirit of humility. And so I'm dealing with the Christian over here. And this Christian is not perfect. They're not perfect, but they're striving to live for the Lord every day of their life. They've chosen to be involved in the works of righteousness. They want to walk the Bible way. They're hungry for the truth, and they want to know the truth. And there's a humility that baptizes their person, the essence of their being. They have a humble heart. They have a teachable spirit. And you know what? I love this person. But I also can love them and love their works, and I can love them and love the way they're walking, and I can love them and love the truth that they're embracing, and I can love them and love their humility. Now, I love you, but I hate your works. You know why? Because God hates your works. I love you, but I hate your false way, because God hates your false way. And by the way, I'm going to feel the way about it that God feels about it. I'm not taking a poll. I'm not on Facebook to count the votes. I'm not walking around in the gossip. I'm not on the cell phones. I'm not defending people. Listen, I've got people in my family that are backslidden. Some of you have people in your family that's backslidden. You need to stop thinking differently. If you're related to somebody, think biblically, feel appropriately, act wisely. All right? Now, you're not helping that person if you don't. So I love you. But you're not making it easy. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination him. Proud look, lying tongue. How about the third one? Hands that shed innocent blood. Let me tell you what begins to become one of the fruits of a backslidden life. They begin to infect and affect the innocent. Their backslidden life begins to cause other people to backslide. And so they, in essence, shed innocent blood. By the way, I hate that. I hate it. I've never seen a backslider, because they have to be fully involved in the works of backsliding, which means they have a full-time job of justifying their backsliding. That means if they're going to justify their backsliding, they've got to go to somebody and try to justify it. So they go to other people, and they usually find weak Christians. And then next thing you know, they begin to destroy and shed innocent blood. You know what the saddest thing, one of the saddest things about backsliding is? Is the innocent people that get hurt. Mothers, listen to me. It's your day, and we've been very positive. But don't you backslide, because it's not just you that you're going to hurt. It's your children that you're going to lead astray. All right, daddies, don't you backslide. Because listen, that innocent teenager who was trying to serve the Lord is going to be affected by your decision. Okay, Sunday school teachers, you don't have a right to backslide. Bus workers, you don't have a right to backslide. There's young people that are in this church that you've reached, that look up to you, that at one time you had a spiritual effect on, and you're going to hurt them. You're going to end up shedding and destroying the innocent. Now, those that are right with God, you know what we do? We spend our lives protecting the innocent. Protecting the innocent. And you know what? So we're going to fight to see that the damage of the backslider is limited as much as possible so that innocent Christians don't get destroyed and are not affected. Okay? And so, I love you, but you're not making it easy. Go, if you will, now. We're still in Proverbs chapter number 6. Stay with me, folks. Don't leave. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. Yea, six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. How about the next one? Feet that be swift in running to mischief. I'm sorry, that's not the next one. Which one? Oh, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Now, Brother Marvin Smith was very good at explaining this to us. But folks, listen to me. Rebellion is as the sin of what? When you begin to rebel against the Bible, rebel against biblical authorities in your life, then all of a sudden you've opened a satanic door. We do not speak seriously enough about the sin of rebellion. If you're rebelling against your mother, rebelling against your father, rebelling against the leadership of this church, rebelling, if you're doing that, you are opening yourself up to a satanic attack. You are opening a door of satanic influence in your life and in your mind. Remember, my job's to guard for your souls, or to watch for your souls. And so I'm telling you that all of a sudden, when you begin to rebel and you begin to open up satanic influence of your life, then all of a sudden you begin to have wicked imaginations, which means you begin to imagine things that aren't even happening. You know what backslidden people do? They'll walk in church and somebody will look over and smile at them, go like that, and later on they'll say, you know what, they give me this strange look. Two people will be over in the corner talking, they'll glance over at you. I know they were talking about me. They were talking about me. Honestly, you listen, the devil makes you paranoid. You know, I said this to somebody once. They said, I'm always worried when I walk in the blessed home. I'm worried what everybody's thinking about me. And I said this, you think too much of yourself. Because believe it or not, the rest of us do not spend our life thinking that much about you at all. The guy could look kind of disappointed. I'm honest. I bet a handful of you prayed for me some this week, but it's not like all week long. All you did was think about Pastor Jerry Ross. If I thought that, I would be paranoid. Okay? Wickedness, backsliding makes you paranoid. The next thing you know, you start imagining things. The devil's whispering constantly in your ear. Why? Because you gave him a foothold in your life. Why? Because you're backslidden. Because you've embraced the sin of rebellion. And now all of a sudden, he has got insight to your mind, and because you are thinking paranoid, you are feeling paranoid, and you're acting like a paranoid person. Now, listen, folks, you can spend your life devising wicked imaginations, or you can spend your life developing your biblical intellect and thinking scripturally. Okay? Let's get back to the poll taking. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about this? Excuse me, I don't care. I don't care what any, I don't care what, if everybody at Blessed Hope Baptist Church thinks opposite of the Bible, you won't sway me one bit. My job is not to take a poll, wet my finger, test the wind, see which way the wind's blowing, what's the popular opinion, stay in favor with the people. That's not my job. My job is to study the Bible, and whatever God says, that's what I'm going to say. And whatever God thinks about something, that's what I'm going to think about it. And if I think that way, I'm going to feel a certain way. Listen, your thinking creates your emotions. Godly thinking creates godly emotions. Carnal thinking produces carnal emotions. And folks, listen to me. The Bible says carnality, and the carnal mind is enmity against God. The Bible says the carnal mind is death. It's death. And so stop taking the polls. Stop talking this thing to death. Think about it the way God thinks. Hey, why don't you go spend as much time talking as you, why don't you get in your Bible and study? Why don't you read the book of Proverbs? See, folks, I've spent my life in the book of Proverbs because that is one of the key places in the Bible to get wisdom. So when I think about a situation, I think with a Proverbs mindset about a situation. Because I think with a Bible mindset, listen, what God thinks about it, I want to think about it. Because then what God feels about it, I'll feel about it. And how God would act towards it, then I'll act towards it. But if I let my carnality get involved, and I begin to think like Jerry Ross thinks, then I'm going to feel wrong about it. And if I feel wrong about it, I'm going to be acting wrong about it. And so I love this Christian, and I love that Christian. It sure is easier to love this Christian because I can love you and love the works of righteousness. I can love you and love the way you're walking. I can love you and love the truth. I can love you because of the and I love your humility, and I love you, and I love the fact that you are protecting the innocent, not trying to destroy the innocent, not trying to destroy young people in our church, that you think biblically. I love you, but I also love biblical thinking. Now, I love you, but you're not making it easy. Because see, I love you, and I will, but that does not mean that I'm going to love the works of the backslider. As a matter of fact, I'm going to hate them. I'm going to hate your false way. I'm going to hate your lying. I'm going to hate your pride. I'm going to hate the fact that you're having a negative influence and destroying innocent people. I'm going to hate the fact that you, of your wicked imagination. Why? Because these six things that the Lord hate. Seven are abomination to him. So I hate the wicked imaginations. Watch this. What's the next one? Feet that be swift in running to mischief. The backslider always becomes involved in troublemaking. Can I say this? I hate troublemaking. I hate feet that are swift to run to mischief. I hate people that are always trying to keep something stirred up, keep something, you know, cause a problem, keep something going. I mean, I spend my whole life trying to focus our church on what happened this morning. I want to focus our church on winning souls. I want to focus our church on let's fill the buses. I want to focus our church on let's love these Sunday school kids. I want to focus our church on let's win your neighbors to Christ. Let's win your family to Christ. And I sit there and do that. And then I'm waving that flag. And you know what? There's folks that run around all the time just starting a fire here, starting a fire there, starting a fire here, starting a fire there. And instead of me being able to stay focused on that, I got to run and put this far. Then I get back and try to get everybody's attention in the right direction. Then I got to go put this fire out. And you know what, folks? Backsliders are troublemakers. Now, I love you, but I hate your troublemaking. I love you, but I hate your troublemaking. Listen, folks, we had a great year at Blessed Hope Baptist School. Can I say why? Look right up here. You know why we fought so long for so many years? Because we had feet that were swift to run into mischief. Say, those kids aren't in the school anymore. No, they're not. And you know what? I love them. But I do not miss constantly having to deal with feet that are swift to run into mischief. And young people, you shouldn't miss it either. All right, you shouldn't miss it either. If you talk to the average student at Blessed Baptist School, you know what? They love the person. They miss the kids aren't there. They wish good for them. But they don't miss the constant evil drama. They don't miss it. And neither do I. It's kind of nice, Brother Reiser, just to be able to come in there and do what we've set out to do. and not have somebody walking the edges and working the edges, always trying to do things that are opposite of the goals we are trying to set out for our young people. Okay? That doesn't mean that we don't love them, but we hate the troublemaking. You know what? I think the Bible says this: blessed are the peacemakers. So this Christian is involved in peacemaking, not troublemaking, peacemaking. And you know what? God says, I'll bless that person. Stay with me. How about the next one? I love you, but I hate the lies you're constantly spread about good people. Yea, six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination to him, a false witness that speaketh lies. Now, remember, they've got a full-time job. Because when you backslide, now you are involved in the works of the backslider. There has never been an unemployed backslider. They have a job, they have works to do, and that work is to justify their backsliding. The only way they can do that is constantly make false accusations against those people. Because what I'm going to do now is even though they're heading in the works of righteousness, and even though they're walking the Bible way, and they embrace the truth, and there's a humility, and they're interested in protecting the innocent, and they have biblical thinking, and they're peacemaking, I'm going to put them under a microscope, and I'm going to try to find every flaw in their life. And I'm going to go, see, they're not perfect, Now, I will lie about it if I have to, because that's what I do. I'll exaggerate it. I'll blow it out of proportion. I mean, by the time I get done gossiping about it and building it up, it'll be 100 times worse than what actually happened. But I don't care, because I'm busy working. And one of my works is to make false accusations, because the way I sleep nights and the way I can live with myself is to pretend that in everybody's heart, they're the same as me. But guess what? They're not. Because see, even though they're not perfect, they're walking and involved in the works of righteousness. And you know what? They're striving to walk the Bible way. There's nobody that's over there that's perfect. And if you want to put us under the microscope, you're going to find some faults. And you know what? Every once in a while, we're going to get so frustrated with your backsliding that we might not always say or do the right things. But if you weren't backslidden, it wouldn't happen. It doesn't make it right. It just makes us human. Okay, because when you're giving your life fully to try to help people go this direction, and you got some nitwits that claim that they're saved, spending their life trying to get people to go this direction, it's frustrating at times. And so a good person will get a little frustrated. Next thing you know, everybody's pointing, see. Folks, listen to me. I'm sorry. We're trying to love you, but you're not making it easy. All right? The next one, how about this? Proverbs chapter 6, I love you, but I hate the discord you create amongst the brethren. He that soweth discord amongst the brethren. Now watch this, folks. The very fact that a person leaves a lifestyle where they're trying to be right with God and create a new element in the church of the backslidden Christian creates division. And then all of a sudden the entire church is put on trial. Okay, whose side are you going to be on? Whose side are you going to take? You know what? There ought to be just one side. Okay? You created, excuse me, I love you, but I'm going to be honest with you, because people that love you are honest with you. But you've created the division. And now everybody else is on trial? And the honest truth is, you don't want to just be loved by them. You want them to join the works of the backslider, follow you in your false way, believe your lies, adopt your pride, help you destroy the innocent, engage in your wicked imaginations, get involved in your troublemaking, and set in your little corner of scorners and make false accusations. And if a person isn't willing to do that, then you know what? They become these evil people. These hypocrites, these people that are fakers. I mean, if you knew the truth about them. Listen, I love you, but I hate what you're doing. Now, I love this person too, you see. But while you're involved in false accusations, there's a group of us that don't just believe any mindless piece of garbage that's posted on Facebook.
We don't just listen to one side of a story. We understand that that person is more times than not going to lie. And by the way, an exaggeration is a lie. Okay? So one little encounter at school or one little encounter at the church can happen, and by the time they get there, and you'll always know when they're lying because they start talking like this. And I'll tell you what they did, and you're not going to believe what they said. Folks, people like that over here, we don't talk like that. We don't. I've never gotten in my car and said, you're not going to believe what somebody said at church today about me. That dialect, okay, that speech impediment is learned over here when you sit in the seat of the scornful. Normal, godly people don't talk like that. Okay? All right. Sowing discord among the brethren. I don't think I'm behind. All right, here we go. Here we go. Sow discord among the brethren. By the way, as a preacher especially, I hate that. I hate it. You don't, nobody here. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. You have no idea how hard and how much of my life is spent at Blessed Hope Baptist Church doing this thing right here. Just trying to promote unity. You know why? Because read Acts chapter 1. 10 days in the upper room. So that was about praying. It wasn't just about praying. The Bible said they were not only there praying, they were all in. You know what? You're never going to see an Acts chapter 2 till you see an Acts chapter 1. Blessed Hope Baptist Church never has. I'm going to say this. I want you to listen to me. I know my church. Okay? I was raised in this church. I mean, I wouldn't trade churches with anybody in the world. But I know this church. It's never reached its full potential. You know why? Because there's always been an element in this church that just can't stand everybody getting on the same page. And we're going to, one of these days as a church, stand before God, and God's going to say to some members of this church, listen, what we saw this morning was fantastic, folks. But let me say this, that ought to be normal. I mean, if 120, we had, what'd you say, Brother Jeff Scales? What'd you say we had? If 297 people come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and we baptized 8 people this morning, 120 Christians got together in Acts chapter 1 and got in one accord and saw 3,000 people say, what's the difference between them and us? One accord must come before the fullness of the Holy Spirit that fully comes and baptizes upon a congregation. Why, preacher, do you spend so much of your time promoting unity? I don't know. Can I ask you a question? Why do you spend so much time sowing discord? If you didn't do that, I wouldn't have to do that. Because the Holy Spirit normally and naturally brings the church into a unified state. Grieving the Holy Spirit causes discord. Surrendering to the Holy Spirit. Don't we all have, anybody got a, that Savior got a different Holy Spirit living in you than I have in me? So there's one unifying factor amongst us, and that is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I think, listen, it's wonderful, and I know every Christian has to be filled individually, but it's an astounding and remarkable thing that I'm not sure we've seen in my lifetime in any church in America, where a congregation of people were baptized simultaneously and got to see the miraculous. You know why? Because we just have something inside of us, some satanic thing inside of us, that just whatever the preacher says or whatever direction we're going, let's sit back and go, well, I'm going to be involved in that. And I'm just not even sure. And I just said, that. And listen, I'm just telling you facts. I wouldn't trade this church for any church in America. I think one of the reasons we see the level of God's involvement we do is that we do have a core group of people that want that. But listen, why does it have to be a core group? I mean, why is it that we can't just say, let's all get with the program, let's all get on the same page? I mean, listen, folks, there shouldn't be 2 or 3 or 5 or 4 people showing up in a church of 297 to these visitation programs. The preacher gets up and says, this is the visitation programs. The average member says, so what? They just say, so what? Okay, this is what we're going to do, Sunday school teachers. Well, some of them are, but I'm not. He doesn't understand how busy I am. Okay? I'm just saying. All right, you know what? I'm going to be very comfortable in this area. I'm not saying in all areas, but in leading this church, I'm going to be able to stand before God and say, leadership was provided, Lord. And if you're honest, it is and has been. The problem isn't leadership. Okay? And so, stay with me here. Watch this. I'm sorry. Hate it. Love you. Hate it. All right, let's go on. How about 1 Samuel chapter 15? Go over there. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And verse number 22. 1 Samuel 15, verse number 22. And Samuel said, 1 Samuel 15, 22. And Samuel says, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? For to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. Love you. Hate your stubbornness and rebellion. Hate it. Hate it. Okay, you're opening a satanic door, not only in your life, but in our church. Hate it. Hate stubbornness. And you know what stubbornness? The unwillingness to consider change. Family recently visited our church, went back and seen them. And the attitude was, well, we like some things about your church. You know what the average person is trying to find? A church that matches where they're at. A church that they can be comfortable in and not have to change. Now, let me tell you what I tell people that visit Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I've said it from the pulpit many times. If God leads you, and I know Blessed Hope Baptist Church isn't for everybody, but it's for a lot more people than want to admit it. Let me tell you the way Blessed Hope Baptist Church operates and the way you have the kind of pastor you'll have. You walk in that door wherever you are in your Christian life, I will accept that. I'll accept you where you're at. Number two, I refuse to allow you to stay there. Because you haven't arrived. You got a long way to go. Oh, no, we don't. Well, then you're going to be, listen, I'm going to drive you nuts. You're not going to like it here. Okay, because I don't care who you are. Pulpit and pew, this is true of. None of us ought to be stagnant. Nobody's arrived. Every one of us ought to be pushed and challenged and given a vision of being something greater than we are. If you have no desire and no willingness to change in any area of your life, you're stubborn. That's as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellious. That's as the sin of witchcraft. Parents, listen to me. Say something. You ought to hear it. Your attitude towards your preacher is the same attitude your children are going to adopt towards you before this is over. You can't teach selective rebellion. I just don't understand why my kids rebelled. You want an honest answer? Come sit in my office and I'll be honest with you. If you won't do what your preacher is asking you to do in the arena where I'm the leader, the church that you attend and that you joined, and your kids sit there every week and watch you rebel against it, why do you think, listen, you're not just training them to be a rebellious church member one day, you're training them to rebel against your authority one of these days. Because you can't teach selective rebellion. All right, let's move on. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 25. I'm going to run you through some verses in Proverbs. Get ready, we'll do a little Bible drill here. Proverbs 19, 25. Proverbs 19, 25 says this. I want you to see these verses because people act like I'm making this stuff up. Proverbs 19:25 says what? Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that hath understanding, he will understand knowledge. Some people I can go to and I can say, hey, you know what? Your attitude's out of line. They'll say, thank you, preacher. You got to change your thinking in this area. Let me show you why. Here's the verse of preacher, thank you. You're right. Thank you so much. That's the way that person responds. A scorner, if you try to reprove them, you know what? They're going to hate you. The simple, listen, Proverbs 21:11. Go there, quick, Proverbs 21:11. When the scorner is what? You sure that doesn't say coddled? Accepted? Made excuses for? People are just so, aww. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made what? And when the wise is instructed, he receives knowledge. Proverbs 22:10. Now, I surely made this verse up. Matter of fact, I got all of your Bibles last night, snuck into your house, erased what was here, and put this in here. Cast out the what? And what? Contention. Troublemaking disappears. All right? Cast out the scorner, contention. Well, they're just not understanding. They know. You don't want me to love your kid. You want me to accept their scornful attitude. I hate a scornful attitude. What does scornful mean? It means when you get to the point of mockery. It literally comes from the idea of somebody playing a part in theater, acting it out. It's the kid that sits back there and says, well, I can see Pastor, and they literally begin to scorn and mock God-given authority. All right? Now, folks, if I begin to tolerate that and allow that, if I didn't smite that, punish that, and if necessary, not correct it, cast it out, a little leaven and leaveneth the whole lump, and we'd have a whole youth group of heathens. That's Bible. Hey, young people, has that leaven gotten into your heart? All right, are you believing me right now, or are you believing the little voice whispering in your ear? Or the new best friend you've gotten? Okay. Sorry, that's not my job. My job is not to accept that. My job is to watch for your souls. And you know what? I want to help you develop a tender and obedient heart. Okay? Now, I love this person, but I also love the works of your righteousness. I love the fact that you're trying to walk in the Bible way. I know you're not perfect, but I love the fact that you're hungry for the truth. I love the fact that there's a humility about you. I love the fact that you're with us trying to protect people from ending up over there. I love the fact that you want to think biblically. You got a hunger. You'd rather see peace than trouble. That there's a dedication to the truth. You don't believe all these silly false accusations. That you're promoting unity and that you have a tender and obedient heart. I not only love you, but I love all these things about you. Sure is easier to love this person. Okay? But I love this person too. And by the way, God knows my heart. I love this person, but I'm sorry, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, brother, sister, cousin, whoever this is affecting. I will not love the works of a backslider. I will not love their false way. I will not love their lies. I will not love their pride, their intent to destroy the innocent, their wicked imaginations, their troublemaking, their false accusations, their sowing discord, their stubbornness to rebellion, their scornful attitude. And by the way, you know what? If you're not careful, you're going to hang around that person right there until you start becoming these things and claiming that you're the only good Christian at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that really loves these people and are trying to reach out to them. Are these things starting to crop up in your life? Then you don't love that person because you don't love them by becoming them. You love by staying right over here. Right over here. John, 1 John chapter 2. Say, preacher, is there an end to this message? Somewhere. I'm more concerned about Blessed Hope Baptist Church than your bedtime right now. Sorry. 1 John chapter 2. Verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love you. Hate your worldliness. Absolutely detest it. Hate it. Hate it. Not going to compromise with it. Not going to okay it. Not going to say it's okay. It's not. It's wrong. It's wicked. Am I behind one over here? Scornful attitude. Positive attitude. My tape didn't get up high enough. Scornful attitude, positive attitude. Sure is easier to love this than it is to always have to fight that. Sure is easier and more blessed
to see a young person that's trying to live a godly life than it is one that's chasing the world so hard. They're like a dog chasing a truck down the road, and that one of these days they're going to catch that truck, or that truck's going to catch them. Okay? Folks, listen to me. I am not compromising with worldliness. I am not compromising with immodesty. I'm not going to redo my thinking so that your activities are acceptable. Some of the things we've stood for the entire history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church is being challenged right now by some of our families and being allowed in families for their young people to be involved in. Blessed Hope Baptist Church is not mean, wicked, unkind, or unloving because we don't put the stamp of approval on those things. Matter of fact, you ought to have a preacher that rebukes those things, and when they are rebuked, there ought to be a church congregation that surrounds the preacher saying, he's 100% right. He's 100% right. Psalms 97 is our last one. Psalms 97 and verse number 10. Psalms 97, verse number 10. Ye that love the Lord, comma, do what? Okay, don't tell me you've got it both ways because you can't. Ye that love the Lord, you hate evil. All right? Now watch this, folks. Backslider next gets involved in what's called evil, and I think that you have heard me explain this, but I'm going to explain it again. There's a difference between sin and evil. Study it out in the Bible. The word sin literally means to miss the mark. That person sins. The best of us that are trying to hit the mark, I always think about bow hunting because I'm always trying to hit the mark. I put in minutes of practice before every season. And I'll shoot, and my full intent is to hit the mark. And you know what? When I miss the mark, I'm disappointed. All right? That's sin. Guess what? For all have. Study it out. Okay? Evil's different. Evil's not shooting at the mark. Matter of fact, evil takes up the bow and starts shooting over here at the good. And all of a sudden, good becomes evil and evil becomes good in their mind. Now, folks, this is taking some time, but Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs this. Watch this. I love you, but you're not making it easy. I love you, but you're not making it easy. Now, stay with me. Watch this. God loves the Christian who is right with him and the Christian who is backslidden. Therefore, Jerry Ross is going to love the Christian who's right with him and the Christian who's backslidden. But God promises favor only upon the righteous. Say, where is that? Psalms 5:12. I'm going to read them to you. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Proverbs 3, verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Proverbs 8:33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Proverbs 11:27. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. But he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. Proverbs 12:2. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. But a man of wicked devices will he condemn. Proverbs 14. Why am I bad when I condemn that? Why am I condemned? The Bible says this. Let's read it. But a man of wicked devices will be condemned. If I condemn that person, why am I bad? Because you don't think biblically, so you don't feel appropriately, so you're not acting wisely. Okay? Proverbs 14:9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Now listen to me. I love you, and I love you. Write this down. Come on, critics, get it out. I will favor you. I will not favor you. I love you, but I will not favor you. I love you. I will favor you. See, it almost seems like
since Pastor Jerry's kind of taken over the youth group, that he just plans all of these things as the rewards for those that are right, doing right. Well, duh. Maybe it's because I think biblically, therefore I feel appropriately, and therefore I act wisely. And yet I come under criticism for doing exactly what God does? So who are you really criticizing, me or God? Young people, get this. You do right, you want to live right, you want to be this person, I promise you, I will do everything in my power to make sure that you have the best time here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and get to do the coolest things that we can possibly do. But if you want to live over here, most of the time, sorry, you're not invited. By the way, that's not my choice. And it's not personal. Because if you'll take your little fanny and trot it off that seat and go over here and set it in this seat, then guess what? You can come along with us too. Fanny's a Greek word. You have to have had Bible college to understand. No, actually, it's a Greene County word. Amen. Amen. So God loves the Christian who's right with him. He loves the Christian who's backslidden. But he promises favor upon the righteous. And watch this. He promises judgment upon the sinners. And you know what? That's something I don't have to be involved in. I wash my hands of. Now, my job to bring judgment in their life, that'll come anyway. It's a coming. The train's coming down the track. I'm going to preach. I'm going to wait a month so that I can preach three nice sermons before I hit it again. But I'm going to preach a message. I'll just tell you, entitled, The Funeral of a Rebellious Teenager. Because whether or not you know it, you've shortened your life. You might not die in your teenage years, but you've shortened your life. God promises you, if you rebel against your parents and you rebel against the Word of God, you have shortened your life sooner or later. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. It's the funeral sermon I'll never be able to preach. Number one, when it happens, they won't call Jerry Ross to do the funeral. Number two, if they did, I wouldn't preach it. Because a funeral's not really for the dead, it's for the living. You know what I would do? I'd go in and do the best I could to comfort those people that are hurting. That's what I do. That's what the Bible says. Rejoice with them that rejoice and mourn with them that mourn. And the funeral's not for the dead, it's for the living. So I wouldn't preach it. But I will preach it on a Sunday night, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And for some of you, it's going to be your funeral sermon in advance if you don't listen to what this preacher's saying, because God's not changing his word to suit you. All right. Say, preacher, who does God favor then? Who does God favor? A man or a woman who is righteous? Here's the question. I'll let you answer it. Then we're done. Who does God favor? The man or woman who is righteous or the backslider? The one who walks in the Bible way or the false way? The one who spreads the truth or spreads lies? The one who is humble or the one who is proud? The one who protects the innocent or the one who is engaged in destroying the innocent? The one who thinks biblically or the one who devises wicked imaginations? The one who is the peacemaker or the one who is the troublemaker? The one who's dedicated to the truth or the one who makes false accusations? The one who promotes unity or the one who sows discord? The one who is tender-hearted and obedient or is stubborn and rebellious? The one who has a positive attitude or a scornful attitude? The one is striving for godliness or pursuing worldliness? The one who has given his life to seek out and embrace the good, or the one who is engaged in the evil? Folks, listen to me. I've made you look at the verses. This isn't what Jerry Ross thinks. Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs to rethink some things and rethink them in a biblical manner so that you start changing how you feel about some things. And if you don't, a root of bitterness is going to get in your heart. And it's not the preacher's fault and it's not the church's fault. It's because you will not think biblically, therefore you do not feel appropriately, and if you're not careful, you're going to do some things and act in an unwise way and make unwise decisions in your life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time you've allotted the preacher tonight, Lord. And I pray, dear God, as I've prayed throughout the week, Lord, that you would take the word of God. Lord, this is a sermon of love. This is a sermon of love, because people who truly love speak the truth, embrace the truth, And the only way that a backslider will ever be set free, the Bible, Jesus said, the truth will set you free. So I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be wise. And Lord, we would think biblically so that we could feel appropriately, so we could begin to act and decide and exercise our will in a right and correct manner. Lord, may it never be said of Blessed Hope Baptist Church that we do not love the backslider. But may it also never be said that we have compromised with or have learned to accept or love the sin and the ways and the works of the backslider. We pray these things in Jesus' name.